For me, it's not really about making sure I'm in front of them because there's a genuine relationship. There's a, you know, it's like you, your best friend from high school, you don't talk to for 5 years and you get with them and it's like nothing ever changed. I certainly don't let time go by with my clients, but.
Welcome to the No Excuse Pro Podcast, your weekly dose of motivation and actionable advice if you're a realtor, financial planner, business owner, or anyone who's tired of making excuses and ready to take your success to the next level. You've come to the right place. Join your host, Kevin Brierton, each week as he chats with industry leaders who are going beyond the excuses to achieve their goals. So no excuses accepted. Let's get started.
All right, Rebecca. Hey, I'm super excited to have you on the No Excuse Pro podcast. We had worked together last year, and something that just stood out to me was just how easy it was to work with you. And then I started doing a little research on you. I don't know if I was stalking you or not, but it's right on your website. But one thing that stood out to me was obviously your top agent, top in Arizona, Maricopa County, and the nation. But something that I really liked was one of your reviews talked about how you're not a transactional realtor, but rather a relationship realtor. And I thought that was awesome. And I think that's something that's super important for professionals to realize. So I just want to share that, but help me understand your journey and kind of what you led you to your position now, what you do in real estate.
Well, initially, I started out thinking I have 3 kids. I've done this 20 plus years, probably 22 years. And at the time, my kids were in grade school. We were trying to figure out ways to supplement our income. And I have family that are in real estate. I had been a paralegal. So it just made sense for me. I have a daughter. At that time, she was 3, but she has Down syndrome. And so I wanted to find something that gave me flexibility and allowed me to, I knew that she would be with us forever. So I wanted to find something that gave me flexibility for the long term. And so I started in real estate. I remember I was just trying to get 5 deals a year. I figured 5 deals a year and I can, you know, supplement that income, do a nice vacation, cover the boys' baseball, whatever we were doing. And those extras and have a little bit of room. And so the first deal I did was actually my next door neighbor. And what happened, I had just graduated from, or I just passed the test and my husband was out doing the yard and the neighbor, unbeknownst to us, they were getting a divorce and the mother was there of the Mrs. Seller. And she was just talking to my husband. She was out doing yard work. And he walked in the house and he said, "You have to go out right now. I just told the neighbor that you're a realtor and you can help them because they've got to sell their house." And I literally said to him, "What are you doing? No, I can't. No, I don't know what I'm doing. I cannot do this." And he forced me. He's like, "You got to go out. You got to say something." And so it was such a hard transaction, super hard. I mean, it was really baptism by fire. You know, they weren't talking. It was back when we had fax machines. So we weren't able to do all this online signing. Everything had to be done in person or on fax. And it was so hard, but so good for me. And closing day came and he had not moved his stuff out. The people were on the curb ready to move in and his stuff was in the house still and he refused to move it out. So I had to call some junk calling guy. It was just crazy, but a really good experience in terms of learning. And I have never not had a transaction since that day. So pretty interesting. I was probably maybe 2 weeks out of taking my test. So.
Well, I think it's probably a good thing to have a really tough one at the beginning, so you don't get jaded. Like if it's really easy, you're like, "Oh, this is super easy." Like a lot of agents, you know, probably over the last couple of years had some easy deals fall in their lap. And you almost, it was probably a blessing that you had that tough one at the beginning, then it made the other ones kind of feel a little easier. But you know, how cool is it that you came and helped them out in a tough situation in their life that obviously it was tough for both of them to go through that and obviously didn't want to leave their house. But you were there to help them kind of move to the next chapter of their life.
Yeah. And it also, I think, for agents who are new or haven't had their first deal yet, you've got to be ready for the first deal. And, you know, I hadn't thought past passing the test. We need to think past that before. Now, when I was taking the classes, I did let everybody know because I thought that was less invasive, less pressure, just to let everyone know I was taking those classes, as opposed to, hey, I just took the class, now let me sell your house. So it, for me, it was a soft sell early on. But yeah, I think it's just, you get those hard ones. And I remember probably, I don't know, maybe 2 months in, I hadn't not had something closed. And my sister said, well, wait until you have to make that phone call where it's not going to close. And I said to her, I am going to make sure that never happens. Obviously, that happens. And it is not a fun phone call on either side. But you have to take the tough stuff with the good stuff, you know.
Yeah, the saying that I like is eating the frog. And, you know, if you can eat a frog, you eat it early in the morning and get it over with, and just, you know, sometimes it's not great news, but it's way better to deal with the bad news than try to, you know, not deal with it. And then it becomes a bigger issue. So curious about this. So I know you've mentored agents, you have been in the business a while and do an awesome job. What is the one thing that makes a difference in your success over these years?
Oh, it's easily communication. Easy. Okay. Yeah.
Tell me a little more about that.
I got a call, it's maybe only been 10 days ago, and this is consistent throughout my entire career. I got a call, I was with clients, so I'm a solo agent, and then I have an assistant. And so I got a call, I couldn't take it, so I pushed it to her, and I don't think that client or that person called my assistant. And so then I followed up with a text saying, hey, I'm with people, I'll call you later. And in my head, I guess I had thought she had talked to my client or to my assistant. And so that night every night I go through my text messages because I lose things. I forget them or I'm busy and I can't respond to it. And I go through my email just to make sure I'm not forgetting or missing anything. And I saw this text message, but I didn't hear from my assistant that she had talked to her, and I didn't talk to this lady. So it was probably about 9 o'clock. I sent her a text message and I said, hey, were you able to talk to my assistant? And she wrote back and said, and sometimes, you know, we don't know who it is all the time. I get so many calls and this is out of state. But I said, she wrote back and said, should I have? And I said, let me call you. I called immediately. And she said, you know, I called 4 agents today. You're the only one who called me back. They're in contract right now to buy a home. You just cannot imagine how many times I hear you're the only one who's called me back, and they are legitimate buyers and sellers. So yeah, communication is so important.
That gives me the chills. You know why? Is because it's so easy to be like, oh well, they'll call back if they need it. I get so many calls. It's probably somebody trying to sell me something or get me to do a web. Some whatever shiny tool, but so having a no excuse mentality is just that. So I think that, you know, sitting down at night going, okay, let's clear through this. Let's just make sure, having that extra checkpoint just to make sure, hey, do we, you know, get this taken care of for you, or giving a specific update, having a process to go through your text messages at the end of the day to kind of scrub through it. I've had a similar situation where I'm like, I don't know, the number was a weird area code and, you know, whatever. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to answer it, you know? And, you know, I try to answer all my calls as long as I'm not going to disrespect somebody and being in a meeting.
Right.
But same thing. It was a great client, closed, super appreciative. It's all good. And so we have to not let these other stories in our head stop us from reaching back out and following up. I think that's a really great takeaway. In your field right now, what is like the one big challenge you're trying to solve or problem you're trying to solve? And how are you helping clients with that right now?
There's a couple of challenges in this market right now, depending on if you're talking about for the client or the agent. The agent, obviously, we're dealing with the NAR changes and That doesn't bother me at all. It'll be fine. We'll figure it out and we'll work through it. But there's so much confusion and so many directions that I think that's where it's difficult. And I think it can make us better agents. I think transparency is good. I had no idea how little people understood how things were covered, who was covering what and the compensation and those professional fees. But and since then, I've had, I don't know, maybe five, seven listing contracts since the beginning of May, April, and everyone has brought that up and said, "Hey, what is this?" And one lady had torn out this whole newspaper article. And so, I think it's super important that we take care of them that way. But on the other side of it, the clients, we need to make sure that these interest rates are impacting them. We need to create a market around their home. We need to make sure that they know the value if they choose to compensate a buyer's agent, that they understand the value of creating a market around their home. So, and then the risk of not doing that because it's their choice. So I think there's the interest rates in general, or I've got clients who are competing against new builds because there are more on the outskirts and they're great homes, but they don't have the deep pockets that they can offer a 5.99, percent interest rate. And so there's a lot of a struggle. I think it's a time for us to rise up and shine and show our value and why it's important because we can make resolutions, we can help them navigate, but we've got to be able to be in front of them to do that. So
You mentioned a market around their house. Tell me a little bit more about that.
when, I did a quick YouTube video on this because there was so much confusion on this compensation. And so the first listing I had after that was announced, the sellers asked me, "Do I want to pay a buyer broker? Do I need to do that?" And what I said to them is, "Until I can find a better way for you to make your home affordable, but still result in what you're looking for, then I don't know that you want to not offer that because it's going to have to be paid by the buyer if it's not paid by us, and we can use the equity or by you, and we can use the equity to help cover that cost. It's no different than if they ask for some other type of compensation or concession." So, but if they don't offer that, and a buyer tells their agent, "Listen, I don't have the funds to cover if a seller will not pay for the buyer broker professional fee. So I need you to only show me homes where that's covered because otherwise I can't cover it." Well, then I've taken all these buyers out of the option for my listing. And I don't want to do that. That hurts my listing. It is not helpful in any way. So I look at it as another way of getting a concession, and the expectation was to cover that, and now it's going to be decoupled, but don't take away from the people who will walk through your front door because of all this noise out there.
Well, and I think there's an importance around somebody helping somebody through this process, right? Because there's a lot of online companies have tried to take away the human element, whether it's, real estate, car sales, or other factors. I mean, you're not just buying a bag of chips, you're buying a house. It's something that's really, there's a lot of things that are moving parts. If you misprice something up or down, it can cost somebody $100,000 up or down, and paying, 2 or 3 or 6% to the agents could be very beneficial, and also have due diligence, right? So agents, great agents, are standing up and going, maybe you shouldn't buy this house because the roof's bad, or maybe you shouldn't do this. You're really guiding somebody to make sure they make a great decision. Take that away, a homeowner's going in, and maybe a homeowner buys, or a person buys, a house a couple times a year. So now you're going in with no representation. Let's just take the agent out, no representation. And how do you know what to even ask about? I had a situation where I bought a house early on, and after closing, I showed up and the front yard with the whole driveway was fixed. I was like, okay, that's weird, but I bought it for sale by owner. It was a distressed situation. And well, I'm like, oh, the homeowner told me the HOA takes care of everything out front. Well, surprise, surprise, I get a bill for $10,000 from the
Oh
HOA.
my heavens. Wow.
So, well, the house is only 200 some thousand. If I paid 3% commission, that'd have been like 6 grand. And now I have to pay 10 grand. And the house, there was other issues too. So if I had a professional that had my back, those are the things that we could protect people from and do due diligence around and make sure that they're taken care of. So to your point, that it's like problem solving, right? It's like figuring out and the making a market around your house. It's like, how do we make it shine the best? Just at your point on the new builds, what do you think the new builds are doing? All they're doing is building it into the price. They're providing buy downs. They're doing exactly the same thing. And then they're incentivizing agents to show the house. And they have a sales rep that if you walk into a new build, they're showing you around, they're following up with you, they're putting the deal together to negotiate on a price. So it's really no different. And I think that's important. And we can go down big rabbit holes. I think though, I want to ask about some things that are like unique and what you've done. And I would love to know two resources that you think like, man, if these two things, if I didn't have these two things, I wouldn't be here today.
Well, I think one of those things, probably everybody knows this truly, Kevin, is the database. My golden clients, those are the people that I love and talk to and care about, and I know who they all are. So I would say my relationships, if I didn't have them, I wouldn't be here today. They take care of me. We take care of them, but they
Yeah.
take care of us. We're mostly referral based.
Is
I
there like
also
any tools or anything that you do to like, I'd say, stay in touch with them? Or is there anything that's unique that you do?
I don't know that I do anything unique. I do customer care days or, just events, and I send them notes, and but it isn't, for me, it's not really about making sure I'm in front of them, because there's a genuine relationship. There's a, it's like your best friend from high school, you don't talk to for 5 years, and you get with them and it's like nothing ever changed. I certainly don't let time go by with my clients, but I really believe that there is that kind of loyalty and trust, probably not with everyone, but really there's some who are just, there probably 150 of them that I know they'd never go anywhere other than with me. And I think that is the trust. I think that is also, I always say, I don't necessarily know more than everybody, but I know that I don't know less. I know as much as anybody when it comes to data, when it comes to the market, when it comes to negotiating, when it comes to just even the contract. So I think it's so important. My value isn't only the relationship, but it's that I can help them understand or navigate something that is so important. So the education piece of it's really important.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think our relationships, and I think my farming, I think that's really important, and that's more transactional until it becomes a relationship, and so I have to put my value proposition out there and make sure everybody knows I'm available and I know what I'm doing, and then they put me to the test, and so, and if I pass that test, if they know of my ability, then I can, I can represent them.
Yeah. Well, what is a time you can remember where you had to overcome something for a client, but they really were like the hero stepping up and doing something that maybe was outside their comfort zone? Tell me a time. I want to, obviously don't need any names or anything like that. Just a specific time where the client had to overcome something and they were the hero in the story.
Well, there's probably lots of them, but I've got clients where they were going through a divorce, and instead of being difficult in a very difficult situation or making it difficult through the process when you're trying to deal with this relationship that is ending in the way that it had been formed, it can be really hard. And I have a number of clients who I've just been so impressed that they came through, they sucked it up, and they made sure that the deal happened and that it was amicable and that it was really just a good process. Lots of those type of deals. But there's times I've had clients who have said, well, I want to make this right, and they'll write a check out. Or I've had clients who have said, I'm going to make sure that you're taken care of, and they didn't have to. So, you know, I think I find that that trust level, they take care of me, I take care of them kind of relationship is really important, that, you know, they know that I'll do anything for them. And I call myself a full service listing agent because I'll find them the trades. I'll help them set things up. Because that peace of mind where they don't want to deal with all of that, the sellers, at least in the seller side, buyers too, though, if buyers are wanting to find trades after closing, I have people and, you know, I always tell them you can use whoever you want, but I have people that you can start with. So I think that, you know, that helps that relationship.
Yeah, no, I think that's important to have the connection. So you're connecting people to, you know, what they need. So sometimes it doesn't even mean that you connect them to, you know, something you're going to help them with. You connect them to something that, you know, they need a plumber, they need this, yeah. You know, because it's your friends, just like your friends would ask, hey, do you know anybody that can help you with this? Yeah. That's how you're different. And I think that's, something that's really, really important, because some people will, you know, the challenge in our business, whether it's mortgage, real estate, and many other businesses, is if it's not relationship-based, you're always having to find another person. And what happens there is you're chasing so many people, you can't actually provide the service level that is really needed, because most of the time you spend is chasing rather than helping people.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
And it's hard to get out of that mode if you're hungry, you know? Yeah. And I was on a panel yesterday and the agents were talking about, you get to a point in your life where when I very first started, I said, if this ever becomes about the money, I'm going to get out. It can never be about the money. But I was not in a position where that money was depended on in the way that agents might feel, you know, and it's a tough market. And I know that the stats lenders are just hanging in there, and title companies and, you know, escrow officers and agents, and it's a very difficult market. And so sometimes it's hard to help them get past that dollar and just look at what is right for that person. And sometimes I've had to, I had to say, well, it's right for you to go to Open Door. I shouldn't say a name, but anybody, because it doesn't matter, any iBuyer, because that's a convenience that you need in your life, as opposed to me selling the home. Would I like to sell a home? Sure. But what's right for that client is what's most important. And if it becomes about the dollar, then you forget to take care of that one. And maybe you don't forget, but it'd be easier to forget.
So. Well, I think it comes back to a few kind of principles that are important. I think something that we always, you know, I started with, it's easier later in life, but when I first started, it's like, I just got to, you know, pay the bills, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as I started really kind of figuring out what I wanted, was really looking at what's most important about being successful and, you know, why you're doing it. And if it's just about the money becomes a little empty. And it's just, you know, great, you made some money, maybe you had a good couple of years, and it doesn't keep you I want to check and make sure this person's taken care of, rather than can I close a deal? Because there's a lot of times that you have to do something that isn't necessarily something you're going to get paid on. A job like being a realtor is not a normal job where you're going to have to do things that is this work or is it not? And it could be very gray. And if it's just about making money, you can make an argument, well, I don't make enough for all the hours I put in, but you're helping people. So I think the job needs to become where you are helping, and then the money does follow by giving. And then the money follows once you add enough value to help them out.
Yeah. And it's hard for me to imagine that this not be someone's passion, because I'm so passionate about it, but it's not. It's a job to some people. And yeah. I mean, I think so highly of Gary Keller, and he always talks about what's happiness, because nothing can buy happiness. That once you get, you know, I say, I want to have $1 million. Once you get $1 million, are you happy, or now do you go for $1.5 million? You know, find the happiness that's core, that's inside you, that is not something that's fleeting or a goal. Just make that something inside you that you can feel at peace with who you are and your integrity, and helping people, serving people, that lasts forever. You know, that's a great, the money does follow, But the important thing is, where's the value created in your life?
Yeah. Well, it is hard because if you just have this one goal, okay, once I hit this, then I'll be happy. Well, once I hit that, like, you should be happy with where you're at now and continue to grow. A lot of times we do things to have kind of like a lateral growth, like your growth is just kind of flat and it should be growing. Sometimes, though, that means that you close more business or less business. But if, as long as you're growing through it and you know, it's not about all just the numbers or the revenue or the bottom line figure, because if you do have growth in it, sometimes you have losses that are actually growth. And you don't, when you don't realize that, that could be a detriment as well, because you have to keep growing, even if it's meaning you're not necessarily making money. And I think that's what you're getting at, is like you're continuing to grow and help people, but it's not necessarily just attached to the money aspect of it.
No, and we call it fail forward. My coach was just talking to me about that and how you can fail forward, because by any failure, it's okay that you have something you failed. What did you learn from it? And then it becomes failing forward. You're learning from it and doing better from the failure. And there are people who fail forward to great success,
Yeah.
so.
Yeah. I mean, you got to have some failure to learn from where where your opportunities are, maybe. And if you're just too inside the box of everything you possibly do, I mean, just this podcast alone, we're about 18, 19 episodes in, and yeah, it gets you out of the comfort zone a little bit. And I'm glad you joined. And we're trying to keep this to drive time. So I just have a couple other things that I want to ask you, like, what's your vision of your work and real estate and the industry? What's your future vision of this, look like in the next couple of years? Do you think we're going to see some changes? I'm just kind of curious.
Major changes over time. I think there's going to be so much continued growth. In 2008, we had the crash, because not just because, but part of our issue here in Arizona was we were hospitality and construction. We have diversified so much. We have so much migration. This is the place to live, in my opinion, and I think we're going to see that bear out. I think I am a huge believer in the valley and growth, and I'm specifically in the Northwest Valley, but I think the entire valley, the corridors in Buckeye, the growth in Queen Creek, massive growth in North Phoenix and Peoria. So I think it's just going to get better. I think there are opportunities to buy, and I think there's opportunities to buy now where you're not overpaying for the home, you're getting some concessions, you're getting a home worth what they're saying it's worth, as opposed to when the market goes nuts again and we get 6.25, and I think we're going to see everybody jump off the fence and we have a different market.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's it. That's a good point. I love, that's a whole nother talk about why you should buy. And I do think it's an important piece of the puzzle to be educated about it. And so you said you do mainly Peoria, kind of you're in the
I do the
Peoria area,
whole
but obviously
North
Colorado.
Northwest Valley, so
Yeah.
anywhere from north or from West Scottsdale all the way over to Surprise and down to
Yeah.
the 10. So
The pricing, it's interesting. Arizona's pricing, you get so many people coming from different areas, and you can still buy beautiful houses and beautiful neighborhoods for a very affordable amount.
absolutely.
Overall, you can get a beautiful house still for 400, 500, 600,000,
Yeah.
and like a
Yeah.
really nice family
In
house.
growth areas where
Yeah.
your equity opportunity is very good, if you're willing to maybe live a little further out in the Queen
Yeah.
Creek or the Santan or the Peoria or Surprise or Northwest Peoria. So
Do you help clients with investment properties too?
I do. I mean, I'm not an investor type of realtor because I just don't have the time to go search out those properties, but
Yeah.
I've had a client, when the market crashed, he bought 20 plus homes and we just found them and bought them. And so I'm also an investor, so obviously I care about that. But I think every home is an investment. And I tell each client when I meet with them, when we're looking to buy a home, you're looking for what works for your family. So am I. But I'm also looking for the investment because this house has a job to do. It can be great memories. It can be a wonderful place to live, but it has a job to do. And I'm going to do my best to make sure it does that job.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Rebecca, I appreciate it. We're coming right up on time.
Perfect.
Want to be sensitive to the drive time goal I have of these awesome talks, and love the conversation. I think there's like 20 other questions I want to ask you, but
Yeah.
maybe for the next one. And really appreciate you jumping on. If somebody, anybody's looking for a great realtor or a great realtor to team up with, what is really the best way to connect with you?
You know, anybody can call me anytime, but I do have my website. I have connections.
What's your website?
It's my name, www.rebeccadurfee.com.
Okay.
And then all the social media sites and just anytime anybody wants help. So
awesome. Well, we're so excited. I mean, you had some really good takeaways. You're doing a great job for your clients, and really appreciate you jumping on. You really embody a lot of these ideals and ethos around No Excuse Pros. So I really appreciate you jumping on. Have an awesome day. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for jumping on and listening to the No Excuse Pro podcast, where we're helping you break through those excuses and accomplish your goals. So many people have the excuses, but also have these bigger goals. We want to help you achieve those goals in life, whether it's just helping people, making the money you want to make, or helping your family continue to succeed. We appreciate you listening. We'll catch you on the next one.
And there you have it, folks. Another enlightening episode of the No Excuse Pro podcast is in the books. A heartfelt thank you to today's guests for sharing their wisdom, and to you, our valued listeners, for spending your time with us. If you're ready to ditch the excuses and level up, make sure to subscribe and find all our episodes at noexcusepropodcast.com. Don't forget, the only thing standing between you and your goals is the story you tell yourself. So no excuses accepted here. Take action and